Good evening. Welcome to the October 2nd, 2008 Recreation and Parks Department meeting, monthly meeting. This time we'll have a roll call. Call to order. Wait, call to order. Pledge of Allegiance. Sorry, everybody. Please rise. Ready? Begin. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Now we'll have roll call.
Commissioner Hensley.
Present.
Commissioner Hale.
Here.
Commissioner Mahan.
Here.
Commissioner Munoz.
Department meeting. Are there any discussion of those minutes? No?
If there's no changes, I would make a motion to approve the September 4th minutes.
I second. Five.
All in favor? Aye. Opposed? None. And at this time, if any of the commissioners have any announcements, I have one quick announcement. The Rock to Rock Fun Run is this weekend, Harbor Festival weekend, and it is Saturday morning out at the Rock. It's a turnaround at North Point and then a run back. We've had quite a bit of interest, not as much interest as the Brian Waterbury, but you know, it's our first year out. So please, if you have any extra time, commissioners, we'd love to see you down there at 6 a.m. at setup. Oh, okay then. if nobody else has any announcements.
The race is at 8:30 a.m., if I believe. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Race is at 8:30, that's correct.
And sign-up's okay in the morning,
right? Yes.
Any other announcements?
Staff's got a couple of announcements for this evening. There's a fundraiser. I believe it's a fundraiser for the fishing program. They're having a Faces of Fishing event. That's a dinner that's happening at the community center Friday, which is tomorrow evening. And this weekend is the Harbor Festival. So Saturday and Sunday along the Embarcadero, a lot of happenings, music, food, and fun. So if you're out and about, try those two programs on. Thank you.
Okay, with that, we can move to A, new business. And we will look at A1, a presentation by Peter Krohn of the Integrated Waste Management Authority.
Good afternoon. My name is Peter Krohn. I'm with the San Luis Obispo County Integrated Waste Management Authority. And as we work on that, go ahead and hit the next slide, please. The San Luis Obispo County Integrated Waste Management Authority is a regional agency. We were formed in 1994. We represent the entire county with all the cities and special districts. Pretty large area, 254,000 square miles. We had a 2006 diversion rate of 64%, and we operate five household hazardous waste facilities, and we're responsible for meeting the requirements of Assembly Bill 939. That was the whole basis for our founding. That was the legislation that required us to meet 25% recycling by the year 1995 and 50% diversion by 2000. As you can see, we're well ahead of that. If you go ahead. Morro Bay is unique in that it's by Morro Bay Garbage. It has about 520. Next one, please. There we go. 520 commercial customers. You guys all get once a week garbage collection and recycling collection for free. Not garbage collection, recycling collection for free. And any additional service is 25% of the rate that you would pay for garbage. So there are financial incentives to do recycling. Next slide, please. All the recycling materials are taken to Cold Canyon Landfill. Mostly about what we do for public recycling opportunities, specifically for parks and recreations. Next slide. Next. Look at that. Public recycling, what we want to do is we want to try and keep it convenient, keep it simple, keep it the same as the program that you guys have at home where it's commingled collection, and keep it blue. We've branded blue as the color of recycling in San Luis Obispo County, and that's one of the things we always really want to try and continue to promote. And the other thing we like to do with our recycling program is keep our graphics very clear and very large so people can see them and easily understand them. As you can see on this container, this container here, you can see obviously which one is the recycling container and which one is the garbage container. This is actually up at the San Simeon State Parks, and it's one of the programs we've done up there. Next slide. When we talk about public areas for recycling, container selection is very important. We want to make sure that the containers fit the need that we're trying to meet. For example, when you go into a park like we had before, you want the containers to be large and be able to accept a lot of materials, yet go to the next slide. We also want to make sure that on this one particularly we have a lid that's slotted so we can limit the size of the material going in so we limit contamination. And these are very important things when we're trying to put together these programs. Next slide, please. For example, the state day use areas, this was funded by a grant from the Department of Conservation where we actually came in and emulated the same container they had because that's the container they service. That's the style of container they're used to having. That's the style of container we use. We put a blue lid on top. We put some graphics on it. So it's easy to recognize. It's been very successful up and down through the state day use areas and state park system. We also offer interior containers for facilities such as this that are managed by Parks and Recs. These containers we make available to you so you can actually have recycling at your events and recycling at any event that is hosted at a facility such as this. And this is a shot of getting my daughter in one of the slides, actually. But actually, this is Morro Bay State Park, and this is another container that was specifically designed to be serviced by side loaders in their operation. What we try to do is we try to make sure that we work with the garbage hauler to make sure we put together a program that's going to fit your needs. So when we go out and we do an evaluation on a project, we want to make sure that we make sure the containers fit the needs. This was done at the Avila Promenade, where we took and we emulated the same design and shape and configuration of the container to try to fit that application. And these are things that are very important when we take a look at putting recycling in public locations. We want to make sure they're aesthetically pleasing. We want to make sure they're functionally pleasing and they work with the people out there. And we also want to make sure that they're always paired next to a garbage container, which is probably the most important thing. When people are given the opportunity to do the right thing, they'll always do the right thing. Next slide, please. And this is also something else we've done where we've actually gone into local areas where we've put a recycling container on top of a garbage can because of space considerations. You know, we don't want to be stacking a lot of things on sidewalks and creating hazards. So by doing this, we were able to incorporate both of them in the same location. And then recyclers of opportunity come by and take the materials out of there and redeem them at certain locations. Next one, please. So the intent here is to put together something that's a very simple program, simple graphics, using pictures, using text, and English and Spanish in this community works really well. You know, we've broadened it in other areas, but this area, English and Spanish are very effective. For example, that's an example of what we utilize on it. It's very clear. The message is very straightforward. It tells you exactly what you can and what you cannot put in there. It tries to keep it very clear, and it's
a I have a quick question. On some of the containers, the ones that you showed, the round one that you had at Avila Promenade, mm-hmm. I couldn't tell from the photograph. It looks like their can is cement. Was your can cement as well?
Yes, ma'am.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. When we try to fit, one of the very important things is staying within the aesthetic needs of the locations. You want to make sure that it fits the environment it's in. In that particular location, those are serviced by one of the restaurants on the site, and that was so they wanted something that fit the same motif, that looked the same. They wanted to keep those aesthetics in line.
I have one more quick question. Do you also work with schools, or is that a separate topic?
We do work with schools also, but that's also done in conjunction with another part of our organization. We have a complete organization dedicated to school education.
To schools, okay.
Right.
Thank you.
One question. What's the typical time interval if you're working with a park and recs? With the X amount of parks here, what's the typical time interval by the time you come out and assess it and talk through requirements and, you know, and so forth to get the recycling
to actually get it in place
on site?
There's not really a typical format. I mean, a lot of what we try to do is through grant funding through the Department of Conservation. So we'd be required to come in, assess our needs, take a look at what we want to put together, and then the grant cycles come up once a year. So we apply for a grant during that grant cycle program. If awarded, then we come back in and we can put the things together for you. And for example, the Avila Promenade took us about a year and a half. State parks took us about 2 years, almost 3 years at times. So it takes time, but the results are very nice.
And I have a question for you. Would we need staff to come out and walk through every park with you and show you where every can is, or is that the investigatory process that you do on your own? I mean, how much staff time will getting the project up and running go?
I really feel it would benefit the program to make it a successful and sustainable program if we involve staff completely from beginning to end. Because once we're done, it is their program. It's not our program. So it's very important that staff is involved from the beginning. When we first do these assessments, the selection of the containers, how the services will be conducted, all the way to the end. Because in essence, it's their program. We're just facilitating placing the containers.
One more question. And so there would be literally no cost at all to the department, or is it entirely covered by these grants?
Typically, we try to cover all capital costs by going through the grant process. Okay. And it's no guarantee we get the grant, so we always try to, but we always try to go out there and get what we can with the grants.
So if we come short of a grant, is it expected that the department would come up with the difference, or?
I think that would be your choice, and you know, or you just put in what we get grant funding for.
Okay. So we you
pick and
prorate
choose.
Up to that amount.
You can pick and choose, yeah.
Okay.
I have a question. You mentioned applying for grants once a year. What is the schedule there or the cycle?
Typically, they render an offering in April. Somewhere in the springtime, and then we apply, then we go through the process of evaluation, and if awarded, then we get funding typically sometime around October.
And to save some staff time, could a commissioner or two be part of the surveying?
Certainly, absolutely.
Two service on our dumpsters in the summertime, once in the winter on a weekly basis, and then I believe that the single-use or aggregate trash receptacles that are based around, you see them at the Rock, you see them along the boulevard, those are serviced more like three times a week. So if we were to implement a more aggressive recycling program, such as what Peter's talking about, then we certainly could evaluate what actual garbage is being dumped in the regular dumpsters and then cut back and maybe have a winter schedule all year round. And definitely would reduce the amount of a disposal fee that we're experiencing now.
Thank you.
What are the, when you apply for a grant, I mean, what are the odds to get approved? We have a good chance if we write a great grant.
Sure, yeah, I'll facilitate writing the grants. I mean, that's my role. I'll absolutely help you guys do that. And typically, we've been relatively successful to date getting the grants in. But that's purely out of our hands. That's the decision that's made in Sacramento.
So what would the timeline be for staff to work with you to, let's say, by this April, to put something together to apply for grant? Do we have enough time now to start out?
Okay. Absolutely. That wouldn't be a problem at all. The amount of involvement with staff time for us to survey the sites would take less than a day. We're not talking about a great involvement of staff time in establishing what we're going to do.
Yeah, I have a question for you. While we wait for that whole grant process and all of that to take place, would there be maybe some way to get a pilot program started at one of our smaller parks that has, say, let's pretend it has two cans. We have a couple of fairly small parks. To get maybe a pilot program going so we can see staff can judge, you know, the effect there?
There may be a potential to do that. We'll have to take a look and see where our budget is and where some of the funding, we may be able to redirect some of the funding from some of the programs we've got going to do that. But that's something that I'd have to bring back and reevaluate within our board.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
May I add to that, Chair Sotlu? Some of the trash cans, actually the recycling containers he's talking about, some of them would be new to an area, and some of them use the existing ones. The last one you saw, the square one that had the recycling on top, that's a Hansen concrete product that comes out of San Francisco, and City of San Francisco has them, so does the City of San Luis, that fits our aggregates now. So you're not talking about bringing in a container that's new and concrete. It would cost you $200-$300. You would be just retrofitting an existing one, or you can bring in a smaller type of a unit that they may already have in stock that we could supplement some of the aggregates that are out there now. So there's a couple, it depends on the where you're going to put it and what type of container we're going to be looking for the use of recycling.
And the traffic the park gets.
True.
Yeah. Okay, any more questions for Peter? Okay, then.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You might want to hang around. That may change if you give us just a second. Mm-hmm. So let us discuss this amongst ourselves. I guess the big question is, do we have interest as a commission in...
Recommendation is to for staff to proceed with an evaluation of the parks and to see if we can enhance on the current program and add any more of it.
Certainly that's something that we can do.
Okay.
The only thing I would add to that is an evaluation with integrated waste management. That would be the...
Sure.
Do we have a second?
I'll second.
All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? None? Passes unanimously. Terrific. Yay. Okay. Moving on to A2, the Recreation and Parks Department program evaluations.
Chair Sutherland, Commission, we have brought to you, I believe, 5 program evaluations for your review and acceptance for file this evening. And I want to mention one thing before I turn it over to our Youth Services Supervisor, Heather Salyer-Frith, that we have certain programs that have certain levels of service. And back in 2004, the Recreation Parks Commission reviewed our programs, and we put in place a program that identifies what service level, and each service level that we've identified has a certain percentage of cost recovery tied to it. So if you have, say we have a Rock to Pier run, it's a running event, that's going to be an enterprise service, and that program is expected to break even at 100% cost recovery, and that would be including program costs, support costs, department indirect costs, and capital costs. So that's one end of the spectrum that we had 100% cost recovery. The other end is basic services, which cost recovery is at 0 to 10%, and that's program costs and support costs. So you'll see as we go through these, and you've noticed some cost recovery percentages that we've given you in the past, and you're going to see a little more detail in those as we go through the programs. So right now I'll turn it over to Heather regarding the Kids Club and Kids Camp evaluations, and then after her evaluations, if you don't have any questions for her, I've asked her to go ahead and take the rest of the evening off, and I'll finish up the evaluations on this one. So here's Heather.
Thank you. Good evening, Commissioners. I'm really happy to present these reports to you this evening. The first one I have for you is the program evaluation for Kids Club, the 2002-2008 school year, which is last school year. As you may well know, Kids Club provides quality before and after school care for all children at Del Mar Elementary in grades K through 6. And, of course, we're licensed by the state of California. As you look down the report, you could see our fiscal impact with our direct costs and our revenues, and it also shows that we have a healthy cost recovery. I think it's important to point out that this program is on the merit service level, and therefore it's expected that it recover 70 to 79% of the cost recovery without including indirect costs. Tuition, as you well know, Recreation Parks uses the active.com online registration option, and Kids Club is the only program currently that offers a discount if you register online. And prior to offering that discount, No family used the online portion because of the convenience fee. With the discount, I saw a dramatic increase, and especially this year because I really promoted it and pushed it. almost close to half our families use it online, so that's a definite bonus. And on the last thing on the recommendations, I thought is important to notice is that we typically are always full. We have a large enrollment and registration process, and we do a lottery system, or we have done a lottery system. And this year, we were really full, and it was difficult placing everyone that came in during that lottery period. I want everyone to get a spot, so I try really hard to make everyone get a spot, and it has always worked out, but this year it was really, really tight. And so I think it's good to consider maybe doing a priority registration week and then an open registration week. And during that priority week, priority may be given to current enrollees and their siblings and incoming kindergarten students, and then open registration would be to everyone else. And that closes your kids club from last year. I think at this time, if there's any questions, I'm open to that.
I have a quick one, Heather. Has staff ever considered expanding the program? Because it sounds like every year it's getting maxed out and very successful, which is great. Do we have the possibility to expand?
Well, I kind of look at it two ways. One is space and their size. And the school, we only have one school, and it's kind of a super school now. Instead of the smaller 200, 300 student populations, it's a large school now. So they don't really have the space there for us. But the other side of the coin is the larger the program gets, there's loss in quality. It doesn't matter how many more staff you have. It's just larger, more children, more things in it. I would never want to be in like that kind of cattle kind of a situation with kids. So we're licensed for 50, and that's kind of a good spot for us. I definitely would be open to something else, but right now I don't predict that, especially on that school campus.
Thank you. Just one comment if I could make. I think it does make sense. I like your recommendation on providing a priority enrollment. It's something that was discussed, I know, a couple years ago when we're, just looking at the challenge of how do you meet the needs of the community when you only have so many spaces. And I think one of the things that was clear at the time was always that risk that if you were participating in the program for a couple years, you weren't necessarily guaranteed the next year. And that's a really difficult place for families to be. Not to say that folks that, move here from another area or are going to try the program for the first time don't deserve a spot either. But I think that, consistency and being able to count on a program and having that reliability for something that both your kids are used to and even the staff, frankly, are used to.
Actually comes from another account that's not general fund, so there's a separation there. And you see our cost recovery, again, is a healthy cost recovery. Just like Kids Club, this is in the merit service level, where we're supposed to recover 70 to 79%, and we're well above that. And even with the indirect that I show later, we're still above that cost recovery. I want to note it again on the cost allocation. It kind of is an estimate because the cost allocation is based on the number of children that participate every day for all 8 weeks. And because Kids Camp has such a flexible enrollment, you can actually come to Kids Camp for just one day out of the whole 8 weeks, or you can come the whole time. That finding that number, again, is not realistic and kind of hard to do. So I found an average. The online tuition payment, we don't offer a discount for Kids Camp, but it truly is a convenience because we do allow week-by-week sign-ups. And so you can imagine Thursday night, because Thursday's the deadline. Thursday night at dinner time, I didn't sign up for next week. Well, parents can easily hop on the computer and sign up for the following week and pay that convenience fee, and it is successful. And in the recommendations, there's just one that I thought that really stood out to me is that we haven't had a fee increase at Kids Camp for at least 3 years, and I think it's time to consider that. Of course, in considering that, I would have to look at the payment ceiling for subsidized care because we don't want to, we want subsidized care to still be covered. So I'd have to check the state of California payment ceiling, but I think we definitely have room. And that concludes that report. If you have any questions?
Any questions?
What is the current fee, and what would you recommend
an increase?
Yeah.
Well, like I said, it varies. So you can as little as 1 day a week or 5 days a week. And at 5 days a week, it's at $125. And for 1 day a week, it's just $30 for that 1 day. Maybe $5 or in a variation of that across the board. I'm not talking a lot of money.
Yeah, that, Heather, that has to be evaluated, doesn't it? And then put on our report to go through the commission. Yeah. So just wondering.
One other question on the convenience fee, the online. I'm wondering if, well, like you said, the example of Oats Thursday night, it's convenient for me to go online. The other side of that, I'm wondering if also it doesn't impact the staff positively by having those people that are, you know, signing up throughout the week to be able to go online and do it and save that expense, because I know that there's two scenarios. One is a family is physically coming in, or they're probably not mailing something in, especially because they're making their choices every week, but they're physically having to come into the office at the community center, or they're having to write a check with the staff on site when there's 40 other kids running around and these folks want to pack up and go home and get the kids shuffled around and someone's writing a check off. And then the other scenario, if somebody
moved all programs to that, but that is definitely something that we as a department have discussed. The reason it is with Kids Club is because the convenience fee is based on the total amount you pay. And you're paying for a month of Kids Club at $300. So your convenience fee is going to be close to anywhere between $12 and $18. And that sounds big. When you're talking about a class, when you're paying $30, your convenience fee may be $2. And a lot of times people can absorb that. They don't think that that's a big deal. But we have discussions that maybe that is something that we want to do, that our online price is, or actually it would be more like our walk-in price is higher than the online price. But we haven't done that with all our programs or Kids Camp. But definitely the Thursday night thing, because you know, you experienced that at Kids Camp. You know, everyone comes in at Thursday night to pay, and staff is like writing receipts and taking money, and it is a hectic, and it would alleviate that kind of congestion, definitely.
Okay. Thank you very much, Heather.
Thank you.
Any other questions for Heather? Okay. Thank you.
Chair Sutherland, Commission, I wanted to follow up on your cost allocation. And when you talk about registering online, and we had talked about this and we had the Rock to Peary evaluation, that the cost allocation may not be as accurate as it has before, because you have 200, 300, 400 participants registering online. There's no staff impact. But the cost allocation is just that, is how much are you impact on your support staff? How much involvement is the clerical staff and the supervising staff and managing staff regarding that program? So that's where we're going to be going back in the months to come and looking at our program, our cost allocation study, and how accurate it is when it is applied to these programs that dictate that it's applied to their cost recovery. Some of these programs, it doesn't apply, but yet we're still showing you that when your cost allocation does apply, you're still breaking into your cost recovery percentages that you've been projected to, if that makes sense to you all. I'll move on to the next program. I have program evaluation for the 2008 Spring Softball Adult League. This league is held March through July. There's four nights of play throughout the week. There are five divisions. Co-ed is Division 1 and 2. There's a Masters over 50. There's a men's C2 and a men's D1 league. The total expenses for all combined for this program period is $12,498. When you add the cost allocation, we're going to do a little bit differently than these. The cost allocation and light surcharge, which we have for our lighting fund, The total expense is $15,214. Your revenues were seen as registration fees. It was $13,415. Your net loss was $1,799. It's a cost recovery of 88%. Without the as a merit service, your target revenue, your target cost recovery is 70 to 79%. When you take out your cost, then I will move forward. The next program that we have evaluation for you is the 2008 Labor Day Classic, which is a huge softball tournament for us. We had 24 teams, two of them from the Central Coast and 22 from the Valley, which is phenomenal because we've loaded up hotel rooms and hopefully restaurants and hopefully every little shop that's around, including the gas station. So we're excited to see that many teams come in from out of the area. We had no incidences during the tournament, but it was after the tournament where we had some problems. We had quite a few calls to the police regarding noise, and the list is a little bit extensive for me to get into this evening, but we did have several meetings with the police chief and the police commander. We've come up with some great recommendations on how we can curb any kind of this activities in the future for not only our programs, our tournaments, but also tournaments that are going to come in from ASA and other organizations. And we're looking to do some more actually with the chamber and partnering up with some tournaments next year. We can get into that a little bit later at another meeting. But we hooked up with the police, and one of the biggest things that we talked about is getting some information to the teams prior to the program. So we've developed a flyer that identifies some of the key elements. Alcohol use, camping in the park, litter, and so forth. And we have a little flyer, and it's a little bit illustrative. And we have developed that, and that went out for our Oktoberfest tournament, which is happening in a couple weeks. So we're trying to be a little bit proactive. It was kind of something we wanted to get out soon and to try it out. And then we'll bring back for some feedback and maybe amend that so our next Labor Day tournament isn't so taxing on our local police force. So we'll go back to this Labor Day Classic. The expenses were obviously all the things that are associated with a softball tournament, to include the equipment and also the staff. Those direct costs added up to $5,124 and some change. And the indirect costs, which we talked about, which is the cost allocation and also the lighting surcharge, which is $1,020, total expenses of $6,144. Your revenues came from two sources, registration fees, which were $225 a team, and also we had some T-shirts sales that we recuperated some revenue on. Total revenues at $6,160. Net revenue, $15.75. Cost recovery of 100%. If you take out your let's back up. This is one of those programs that's on your far left, enterprise service, which we will always include the indirect and the cost allocation. And so meeting that need of 100%, or right on target. So things are going well, particularly with that program. I'd open it up. You can see some of our recommendations. I'm sorry. Some of our recommendations was to hang on to the championship. We bought a bat this year for the home run champion, and that went over really well. And just to get some continued having some larger sizes for the big guys to come out and play softball. So the Labor Day tournament has had 71 participants. So still have some strong numbers regarding those two programs. We had a lot of in-kind and very generous support from the community, and I wanted to make sure those programs, companies were mentioned this evening. The Morro Bay Surf Company provided goodie bags, which were phenomenal, had little sunglasses and other sundries in those. Outer Reef surfboard leashes we got at a discount. Finis, which is 30 pairs of goggles, which we had out for the kids. Arrowhead provided us with some Pro Beach volleyball nets. And this year we had volleyball courts set up down on the beach. Not only was utilized by our program, but I think general members of the public love to play there too. We've talked with the harbor. We've extended the length of time we're going to have that net up. And I think it's going to be coming down pretty soon. but that went over well, and we're going to continue that program, part of the program. And then we had Verge's Landing, which provides fishing opportunity for the kids. And those who don't have a different program on land, but those who want to go fishing get an opportunity to get out with Verge's and catch some fish, and it's always a dynamite and well-supported program. And the last is the Community Foundation, as well as the Surfrider Foundation, providing some scholarships. And Surfrider put up about $350 for the program, which was part of your revenues, as well as the registration fees and sweatshirt fees, which total your revenues at $35,340. Direct costs for the program, which is all three programs, so the both sessions and the pool, $34,298. Indirect costs were cost allocation we have for the pool and the beach. Those indirect fees come up to $4,105. Total expenses for your program, $38,403. It's a net loss of $3,063, cost recovery of 92%. This is one of those programs which is in the private service sector. And if any of you have questions regarding the service levels and the cost recovery, I have some in-depth staff reports, and I also have some time. So please contact me at your convenience. We can go through these in great detail. This particular private service revenue goal is 80 to 100% cost recovery. It does not include the cost allocations. When we take out the cost allocations, our cost recovery for this program is $103, a net gain of $1,041. So you can see the significance of this cost allocation and how that's formulated and how it plays a part on your cost recovery. The recommendations we have to continue on the Junior Lifeguard program is to continue to seek donations and in-kind donations, and we've had some great support from the community. Continue to work with the safety, public safety and community resources, police, fire, state parks, all bring us a venue of environmental education, safety when it comes to in the water and first aid. And so there's a lot we're trying to tap in and partner up, and I think you'll see us looking to police, fire, and other and harbor as a resource that'll help us with programs when they have the resources that benefit our programs. And we continue to be written up, and Eric is doing a great job at the harbor. He's got a committee a team that's working with him to get this accomplished. And what we're trying to do is recruit early, get those who are interested in being junior lifeguard instructors and junior lifeguard aides out in the water, get them trained, get them physically fit to handle the academy, so when they hit the academy, they're successful. We had a couple that dropped out not meeting the physical demands, and that's usually day one they do the swim test. So we're going to try to work with some interested individuals earlier this year. And then we talk about revamping the manual that we have and maybe use some age-appropriate things within each manual so it's better received at the different levels. I'd open it up for any questions at this time regarding the Junior Lifeguard program.
Any questions? No?
If there are no questions, I would ask the commission to accept A1, which includes program evaluations for Kids Club, Kids Camp, Softball League, as well as the Labor Day Classic and the Junior Lifeguard Program's reports for file.
Actually, I think all those are under A2, so.
A2, and I just wanted to make sure that you knew all of them were on A2.
I would make a motion to accept all the reports under A2 for file.
Second the motion.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? None. Okay, we will move on now to B, Unfinished Business, B1, Recreation and Parks Department Status Report.
Good evening, Chair Solo and Commission. This report's brought to you every month, and I will not bore you with all the details, but I will hit on some highlighted ideas. The community pool is one that staff met with the district, the Community Pool Foundation, the county, as well as Los Osos Community Pool. They had a committee member there. We're moving forward with a MOU that outlines all parties' involvements in getting a community aquatic center. And we are, and the Community Pool Foundation is working on a feasibility study. And we had some guidelines come through from their representative just in the last few days. And it looks like they're on the right track. So we've encouraged them to continue their efforts in their feasibility study. The Morobe to Cayucas Connector is, actually we've got a CD right now. That's a preliminary design report for that bike path. And if you would like to check that out, please stop by and talk to Barbara Wright, and we can get you a copy of that so you can review it on your own time. And the last thing I would make comment on is the department website. And there was some talk about it in the last meeting. The city has a contract with Civic Plus to develop our website. And we had a subcommittee that met today of departments. And Heather Sawyer-Fifth is our representative from our department. And the Civic Plus, the contract, will be in next week to meet with staff. And there's going to be a series of meetings that start next week, and they're project prematurely. There was some report about some meat bees that were along the bike path down by the cloisters. We sent out staff. They've seen a few, but nothing serious. We're going to continue monitoring the situation in the next days to come. The other letters we have are from the Citizens Bike Committee. This was geared towards our address to Public Services Department, Mr. Rob Leivick. And this is a thanks for sweeping the Class 1 bike path next to the high school, which is nice to see that in our efforts are being recognized by the local committee. And also on the flip side is the San Luis Obispo Bike Club, who is giving another thanks for the crew for bush trimming along South Bay, which is part of the Class 2 bike areas that are bike paths that are in this area. So some work done by Public Services Department in getting these bike paths and maintaining them, and bike clubs are out there, and they appreciate it. So we have two letters of thanks. That concludes our system reports and correspondence, C1.
Any questions for Joe Woods?
No.
No? Okay. A motion to accept for file?
Motion to accept C1 for file.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? None. Okay. We will then move on to D reports.
Chair, Soil and Commission, D1, 2, and 3 are always presented to you monthly. We'd like to take all three in consideration when you do your motion. The first one is the Youth Services Division Participation Report. As you can look through the numbers, they seem fairly in order. You'll notice halfway through, Kids Camp is up approximately, not quite, about 80 participants. The skate park is down. We have decreased the hours that it's actually open. And we also have brought back some summer skate nights. And you'll see that there's 44 participants to date, and there wasn't any the previous year. And the teen center is up, 30 or 40 participants, which is good. And we're also talking about helping out with some other things that are happening at the high school. I think they're looking to entertain every 15 minutes as well. That's a program at the high school, and in conjunction with that program, we would have the teen center open to help facilitate that. So we're going to extend some of the teen center hours for the school program, and we'll have more on that at a later date. The next program participation report is the recreational sports, and you will see that the softball leagues are down just slightly from the previous fiscal year. UK soccer is down significantly from the previous fiscal year. And also soccer, our youth soccer program in general is down a couple of 200 participants. So there are a few programs that are down But all in all, some of our stable programs like TEER, Sierra Vista Hospital had a lecture. We had Special Olympics, did the TIPACOP program. We had a family reunion. And there was also, unfortunately, a memorial service that was held here at the Vets Hall. That concludes D1, 2, and 3. I'd open it up for discussion at this time.
Any questions or discussion?
Motion to accept reports D1, 2, 3 for file.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? None. Okay. Moving on then to D4, the senior representative report. Norma is not here this evening. Yes, Norma is not here this evening. Sorry, I'm like, wait a minute. Norma is not here this evening, so we'll move on to that. I guess in November we'll take a report from her. And then commissioner reports D5. Shall I turn that over to you, Judy?
Just one report. The commission prepared a letter addressed from the Recreation Parks Commission to the Moore Bay City Council. We all received a copy this evening. Basically, we're just confirming having the introduction that we had from the Moore Bay Community Pool Foundation at our September 4th meeting, that we unanimously support their endeavors to try and get a pool here set up in Moore Bay. And we urge the city council to also support their endeavors. So this letter will go out to city council at their next meeting, which, Joe, do you know when the next city council meeting is?
The next city council meeting is October the 13th.
Okay.
And the deadline to submit for that agenda would be next Wednesday.
Next Wednesday. So I guess we can make a motion. Does anyone have any comments on the letter? And if not, I suggest making a motion to forward the letter on to make sure it gets onto the city council agenda for their next October 13th meeting.
I'll make a motion that we...
Wait, I have a comment on the letter. Sorry. Before we go any further, I just want to make sure, Joe, because it was my understanding when we, and this is a couple of years ago, we sent a letter as a group, and I believe it was regarding renewing the senior. Actually, I think it may have been Kids Club. But
Dog Park.
Yeah, anyways.
Delmar.
Oh, yes, it was Delmar Park. Thank you. Mm-hmm. At that time, we had to change the verbiage on the order. We had to be very specific to say that it was only the commission recommending. I just want to make sure that before we go any further, when we forward this to the city council, that on second paragraph line 3, where it says the commission gave the foundation their unanimous support for a community pool in Morro Bay and agreed to encourage a partnership between the foundation and the city of Morro Bay. That's fine verbiage. That's not. Can we encourage?
As I read it, I think it's fine. That's what you're doing.
Okay,
you're just encouraging our partnership, and then you've actually you've recommended us to go forth and try to foster that relationship through an MOU, and we are doing exactly that.
Great. Terrific. Just wanted to make sure.
Okay, so I'll make a motion.
Terrific. So that's Monday, October 13th, ladies.
If that date changes, I'll contact all you at the commission and let you know.
Yeah, that is Columbus Day, you know. Just so you know.
It's a non-city holiday.
Pardon?
It's a non-city holiday, so we will be meeting.
Okay, I believe that concludes all of our commissioner reports.
I do have one.
Oh, I beg your pardon.
Just to follow up on the California Children Outdoor Bill of Rights, an activity listing document and a corresponding certificate of completion. Both of these documents, this was basically to help promote the idea of California Children's Outdoor Bill of Rights, getting kids outdoors and experiencing different outdoor activities. So obviously the summer's over, so the peak of use of this, you know, we may want to start looking at promoting it again as we maybe get into spring, or we can talk about that later. But the idea for the commission was to basically support the staff in developing a document that, you know, a kid could print out and have and be able to check off that they did all the 10 California Outdoor Bill of Rights activities, and focusing on things here in the local area that they can do, which, you know, fortunately we live in a beautiful place where we can do all these things outdoors. So the graphic piece has been done for that, as well as a certificate of completion. So staff has the files and they can, you know, start to put them on the web or do whatever. Maybe again we can come back in the spring and, you know, do a little promotion around it and get kids excited and engaged in it. So I'll pass that around to the commissioners to take a look at. That's it.
Terrific. Thank you. Yay. Okay, with that, I move that, oh, I can't move. Does somebody want to move that we accept D5 for?
Sure. Motion to accept D5.
No?
Oh, there's no.
On commissioner reports? No? Okay, never mind then. We'll move on to E, public hearings. We have none. Declaration of future agenda items from anyone?
Yes. Sorry. I wanted to put as a future agenda item discussion about the fair for next April. And I will come by the department maybe in the next couple of weeks before next meeting just to firm up some ideas that we could put onto our agenda if that is okay with everyone.
Good.
Yeah, that sounds great.
Yeah, that's fine.
If you can stop by and we can discuss in your details and ideas.
Yeah. Okay. Just to start something
sure.
Going. Start the ball rolling.
Any other future agenda items? Anybody? No? Okay. With that, we move on to adjournment.
Motion to adjourn the October 2nd meeting.
I'll second.
All those in favor? Aye. Opposed? None.